Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Dr. Susan Trom, what are you doing today? You finished your clients early today, and now you are here on the edge with me?
Yes, I am. This is great. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Really appreciate it, April.
Well, thank you so much. You know, you're doing a lot. You're doing a lot with eye care. You're doing a lot with Beyond That 2020 Vision, what that looks like, coaching and mentoring people. You are just a trailblazer. You've given me some great suggestions and things to do. And you are a brand new author.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Wow. Let's go back in time. Tell me where this all began for you.
Oh, heavens. Where did it all begin? Well, it began 45 years ago when I wasn't born and raised here. I'm from Vietnam. When the war broke out in 75, and my parents, young couple in their 30s, with five little kids, I'm the eldest of five.
Four
younger brothers. So I was mini mom at an early age, at about, I don't know, six, seven, just helping my parents, taking care of the four boys. And, the war breaks out and you got to run. My parents are running and fleeing because they don't want to live under the regime of the communists. And so they're like, we're heading to the U.S. to provide better life, and it's all about the children, right? They're like, yeah, it's good for us, but it's more about you five kids and your future. The U.S. of A, I mean, what a great country and opportunities to be educated. And so it began there, and I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many folks out there, if they can relate, coming to a country, talk about foreign, it's like a different planet. We didn't know the language, the culture, no money, starting from bottom up.
How did you get here?
How did I get here? Well, we were sponsored and we came over via the plane, because in the 80s, there were the boat people from Vietnam. So fortunately, we...
No, I work with some wonderful women that own a nail salon here, and they have told me about their harrowing journey.
Yes.
What it took to get here to the United States and, you know, dealing with the people that took advantage of them for their money and, you know, all the challenges that they faced.
We were fortunate. And yes, I have heard similar stories. We were fortunate where it wasn't as challenging. It was challenging. We fled and we were in a refugee camp for a year because you got to wait for proper paperwork and documents. I mean, no proper paperwork, you're not coming into the U.S.
Wow.
So we arrived in 76 and we have settled here in the Tampa Bay area in Florida all those years. And my parents love it. It's not, they're like, look, we're not doing cold. We want something weather, like kind of like back home.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you a cultural question.
Yes, please.
And if I am making a general statement, please correct me. You know, I don't know a lot about the Vietnamese culture. I know some. But in the Asian culture overall, women are not given or expected to have the same responsibilities, opportunities as men do.
That is correct.
And you were the first born. So you were a female and you had four brothers. How did that work with regards to pecking order? Did that, you know, did your parents just kind of ignore that and say, hey, you're going to be the responsible one?
Yes, as the eldest, right? And you're right. Women are considered traditionally subservient, right? But it's different now. We're in the US of A. Western culture, okay, things need to change and be better. But my parents is, you're the eldest, right? So instead of seeing me as, you're the female, you don't deserve this different opportunities, is you're the eldest, you have this responsibility, we bestow it upon you, and you're going to do well academically, you're going to do well this way, that way, you're not going to get in trouble, because your four brothers, they're watching everything.
Wow.
Okay, they're watching everything. So there was this responsibility, this expectations.
I get it. And, you know, and it's a lot of responsibility, but you grew up in that. So you went to school and you became an optometrist. Tell me about that.
An optometrist is my, becoming an optometrist is my second career. I mean, that was just expected, right? Is coming out, coming over here, starting over here with nothing. It's living in poverty. And my parents, the thinking is education is your key out of poverty. Okay. So go educate, educate. My parents did not have that opportunity to have a higher education. My, my mom graduated high school. She finished high school. My father finished middle school. And at that point, my grandparents says, you're going to go be an apprentice on sewing, being a tailor.
And okay.
So, yes. So that's how he had fed the family for all these decades, is being a master tailor. And my mom worked in different factories and all to just feed the family also. So, but so their expectation is you're the eldest, you're going to go to school, you're going to do well. We expect you to graduate at the top of your class in high school. Okay. So there was that academic expectations. Go to college, do something, be something. Of course, you know, the stereotypical is be a doctor, be a lawyer, be something like that, right? But of course, now we've learned that you don't have to be that to be super successful. I mean, there's so many amazing, successful entrepreneurs these days. So I went to college, did medical research for 6 years, and I was a lab rat, essentially. Mm. And I can't see myself being a lab rat, being so isolated and a loner in a lab, you know, till I retire or till I die. And I was like, no, I need people. And I knew I wasn't going to stop until I got my doctorate, because my parents are like, go be a doctor of something.
Right.
I went back to school and grad school and got my doctorate and been practicing going on 22 years now. So
22 years, you got good genes, honey. You look fabulous.
You're kind. Thank you.
So you are looking beyond the retina. You are looking beyond the optic nerve of individuals. You are helping them with 20/20 vision. Tell me a little bit about where 20/20 vision comes from and what that looks like in your eyes.
You're talking about the when you see the beyond 20/20 vision.
Yes.
Well, the beyond 20/20 vision is my coaching business. Right. So there's my eye business, the practice. And then there's the coaching, mentoring, and also speaking. And so the Beyond 20/20, where that came from is when you go to the eye doctor and you're in the exam room, we always aim for, you know, 20/20, what does that mean? 20/20 vision means I have perfect vision, right? Our goals is 20/20. It's like, you have perfect vision. Great. All right. We're done. We're good. You've got this established. Here's your prescription. Wonderful. You have healthy eyes and we'll see you next year. But that is us, the eye industry and the eye doctor, setting the standard in the exam room. So beyond 20/20 vision, the reason I came upon that name is in your life, in our lives, who sets the standard? Well, ideally, it's going to be me, you. We want to be the CEO of our own life, because if you're not setting the standard, then who is? If you're not the CEO of your life, then who is? Your kids, your past, your job, your this, your that, your spouse, etc. Right? So beyond 20/20 is perfect in life does not stop at 20/20. It is beyond that, and that standard is set, and ideally ought to be set by us. Right? We're setting the standard. So that's where that beyond 20/20 vision came from. Nobody said it had to stop at 20/20.
Right.
It's way beyond that.
So many people are lost. Their vision is clouded, especially with what we've been through in the last couple of years. This is absolutely historic.
Yes.
Where would you tell a person to begin?
Okay, well, yes, when you talk about lost and clouded, it's we're lacking clarity, right? Not only clarity here, because my motto is sight is a function of your eyes. Yes, you need this for sight, but vision is a function of your heart. So when you say to begin, is we got to close, you have best clarity when you close your eyes. When you close your eyes, because when we that minimizes distraction, because when we open our eyes, guess what? It's all these different distractions in our lives. All right. Close your eyes and you got to look here and you got to listen. How does your heart speak to you? And when you know who and what you are and why is it, what is the reason for my existence? It starts there. Okay. And when you, once you have that clarity, then you have better directions in life.
Absolutely. Did you find your awakening through your culture, through spirituality, through life experience? How did you find yourself?
I found myself, I thought I found myself until about 7 years ago, I lost a younger brother. I lost, now the boys, I would number them 1 through 4. Right? Boom, boom, like that. It was brother number two. His name's Devin. And he was 42 when we lost him to stage 4 liver cancer, metastasized. From the time of his diagnosis to him passing, the doctors say, yeah, you've got about 3 months with him. We had 9 days, April.
Ooh.
9 days from time of diagnosis, when he was like, gosh, why am I experiencing this pain down here and all? Right, getting worked up, and all that. And that discovered to him taking his last breath, 9 days. You want to talk about an awakening? I thought I knew, right? I'm like, great. I'm going through life. I know what I'm doing. I'm an eye dog. I'm helping people. I'm impacting lives, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, I knew my reason for my existence. But losing my brother, you want to talk about a huge wake-up call. And I tell folks, many of us, we go through life on autopilot, cruise control. That's just merely existing. That's not living. Merely existing is this, truly living. That's a whole different thing. Because I tell folks, listen, we got one life. Make it matter. Do you want to make it matter? Does it matter to you? Right? And losing my brother really just snapped me out of, I was like, wow, was I guilty of that? Just day in, day out. I wake up, I go see patients, I take care of them, I come home day in, I just talk about a huge awakening. So here's what I'm saying now. Where are we? A year and a half in? If this COVID, if this pandemic does not serve all of us as a huge wake-up call, what are we waiting for? What else are we waiting for?
Well, you know, people are fighting. The struggle is real, Susan.
Right.
The struggle is real. And people are putting on blinders. They don't want to see it. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with the reality of the fear. They don't want to move beyond the fear. They're not risk takers, you know. They become evil.
Yeah.
They become evil. They become bitter. They become combative, you know. So, again, their vision is clouded because, as you said, your vision is in your heart.
Yes, they're not looking deep enough. They haven't
they're
taken
not looking deep enough.
Exactly.
Speaking of loss, you and I both lost an elder not too long ago for you and me this year.
Yes.
And mine was a little bit different. Well, again, I was with my mother. I took care of my mother. She was 91 years old. But it was a rite of passage that I saw. It was a beautiful transition. I played my singing bowls and opened the path for her to be received in the world beyond, because I don't think that, you know, this is it. I think that there is somewhere that we move on to. But again, you got to, as we say, you got to get your street cred. You got to get your credentials and your receipts before you can carry on to the next level.
Yes.
What do you tell to a person that is in that place of pain for them to find some comfort, to find their awakening, and to know that this is possibly a transitional state? What do you say to that person?
Are you saying the pain of the individual that's going through and getting ready to transition, or the pain of the loved ones they leave behind?
Okay, let's speak to both of them.
The pain, and thank you so much for sharing that. It was my recently, gosh, that was what, not even a month ago. It was my father-in-law. Your mother was 91. That's amazing. He was 89. And it was not easy, but he knew I'm ready. At first he wasn't, but you said, well, what do you say to them, right? For example, you know, you've had your time with your mom and helping her to be ready to transition. And same with my father-in-law is, what do you say? You first of all, it's more them. Are you ready? Right? Are you ready? Because we know, come on, April, this is not our permanent home. This is not. So, and they know they have to be ready. It's not like we're pushing them, and we're there to help them and to say, when you're ready, we're ready, right? Because we're selfish. Same with me and my goodness, with my brother, not just me, but the family. And I told my husband the same thing. When we want to keep them here forever, that's us being selfish.
It is.
What quality of life and what pain, right? So you're going to move on, and it's peaceful. And you're not in pain, and you're more comfortable.
you're at peace. You know, when I gave my mother permission to leave, and she gave me permission to stay.
Yes.
And I said, Mama, I said, are you ready to go? And she goes, yeah. And I said, well, can I stay? She says, you stay a little while longer, but we will meet again. You know, and so again, it's like collecting flowers in a garden.
Yes.
One day you will have a beautiful bouquet. Yes. You wrote a book.
I did.
Tell me about the book and what's inside the pages of the book. Put that up real close to the camera so all my brains can see that. Look at you.
Yes, I'm so proud. So proud of my book. It was working on and off for 4 years and finally published and out in print about 2 months ago. And so it's available on Amazon. So, and what is this about? You know, sometimes people see this and they're like, what, is this about eyes? Is this about vision? No, because when you look at it, there's a subtitle, right? Instead of nine chapters, it's nine lessons. Nine lessons to, and it's a workbook. I have blanks in here that I'm asking you a question and making you dig, and I've got spaces for you to write. So no, I'm making you work hard.
Exactly. That's what leaves the imprint, though, in your mind when you have something interactive and you're engaged.
Yes. And it is just like now, right? Us engaging each other, but us engaging our audience out there, those watching and those listening, and similar here. And when you say what's in it, this is similarly to what we talked about. And it's all the nine lessons, nine chapters are all action words. For example, the first one, live with intention. But then I define what's intention, what's purpose, what is it to you, right? And then so we go into that, and then of course I have my stories that I share and what to. I mean, I've hit bottom. At the end of the day, what is this book about? Perseverance, resilience, right? Life can throw us down. Life can throw us down hard, deep, far. But we have the choice. Do I stay down there, or do I get up and go at it again, and go at it even stronger and better? So when this talks about, I mean, what does it take? We talked about it earlier, to gain that clarity, to hear what's in that heart. What is your vision? Your vision of this ideal life, personal, professional, a business, whatever it is, you see, digging deep.
Okay. So when you uncover these monsters, because there's going to be some monsters, what is the first action step that you would recommend to someone? Me, I would say sit with it.
Yes.
I would say sit with it, observe it, because we are the observers of our life. We are also the actors in the role that we play.
Yes.
We are a spirit living a human experience. So my suggestion is that you sit with it, resonate, marinate like a good piece of salmon.
Yes.
Soak it all in, because again, then you know what you're working with. What would be a suggestion that you would offer, Dr. Truong?
I would agree with you, April. Is first and foremost is sit back and observe. It's almost just like you're watching a movie, right? Just visualize this. I'm an eye doc, so you see some visualization. So you're looking into this window, the screen of your own life here, and here's what's going on. So like you said, observe it, marinate it, because the more you do, then you're like, okay. And another thing, these monsters, it's not going to go away until we have come to the point where we're like, okay, I'm going to face it. I'm going to address it. Because until it is addressed, until it is resolved, it will always be there. It will always be whether in the back of the mind, the back of the burner. And it's this ghost that will just come up in different situations. That's number one. Number two, you talked about fear and lacking clarity and vision being cloudy earlier. There's only two ways. And this is something mentioned in the book also. It's really simple. You know, folks make life too hard. Life is not that hard. Don't make it so hard. We make it hard on ourselves. Okay. Only two ways to live. Am I living in faith or am I living in fear?
That's right.
It's really that simple. And that fear can paralyze us, like paralyze us, cloud our vision. So it's really simple.
And you know what? They can't live in existence in the same place.
Not at all.
Either you are afraid to be free or you're free to be afraid. One or the other.
Yes, ma'am.
You go out and speak. Is this what you speak to your audiences about? Because I know that you have an upcoming event. You are a dynamic speaker.
Thank you very much. I do. I mean, and oftentimes it's the audience, right? It's always, we're always speaking and knowing our audience. And oftentimes it is this, right? It is this vision. So let's say if it's a small business audience, right? Small business owners. And it is, okay, what is that vision of your business? What is it you want? During COVID, it's been challenging. Some people have to close down their business. Some people have a hard time thriving and surviving. And so yes, when you talk about in terms of what I do, is this what I speak up on? I do, but then again, I tailor it to that particular, right? Am I speaking to a group of business owners? Am I speaking to domestic violence individuals, group? So it's just, yes, but it boils down to, but it's different, but it's not, because it boils down to the same thing, right? Knowing who am I, what am I, right? And truly living, not merely existing, because when I do know exactly what is my purpose, what is my reason for being here, and when I have that, then I can, you know, my why. I talk about my why in the book here too, because when we know our why, right? Because I say your why is going to make you cry, or it's not your why. When you know your why, then you're going to have better clarity in life, in the business, and all. And when you have better clarity, then you don't get in yourself. Well, it's a little easier to not get yourself in a situation where it's, you know, I'm a victim of domestic violence, or my business is not doing well, and all that. Because we know, I mean, that's another topic for another day. It's domestic violence is, you know, it comes with self-esteem, self-value, confidence.
Right. And so, self-actualization, realizing that this is really a problem. This is not quote unquote normal. This is not how I should feel, that there is something better, to have other people that are ahead of you that mentor you and mold you and care about you, having the conversation with self.
Yes, you're right. It is, there is something better, but to understand that I deserve better also.
Right.
That's the thing. There is better out there, but that I am deserving of it.
The Vietnamese culture, from what I see and what I know, is a very strong culture. Very strong. You have overcome so much adversity from wars and corrupt governments and poverty, but it is a beautiful place. Tell me about some of the beauty of Vietnam.
Well, if you talk about geography, you've got the ocean, you've got the mountains and all, but here's the thing though, the beauty in Vietnam is not so different than beauty in the U.S., right? Because we have our different region of the U.S. We're so fortunate that our country is so large, and you know, you want the mountains, you can head out to the mountains, or we got the ocean, or the lakes, or whatnot, you know, our beautiful Grand Canyon, and that's the thing. And I appreciate you asking that, because here's what I hear all the time, because oftentimes I'll have patients from all over, the snowbirds, or, oh, you know, I like Florida, I don't. How do you stand it? So hot, so humid, or, oh, you know, it's this, that, or it's so beautiful, but here's the thing, no matter where we're at on this earth, that beauty starts from in here, and we'll see it, right? A place can be as ugly as anything, but we'll find some beauty in it. We'll find some beauty somewhere, April.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so you are also a mother of two fur babies. Tell me about your dogs.
yes, I have three stepdaughters. So the girls are grown, and so
I didn't know you had stepdaughters. I was talking about your two dogs.
Fur babies also. Actually, we have one left because one passed. So we have two Yorkies. We had two Yorkies, and you know, they're just the love of our lives. And the one that passed, he passed this August 8th, and he was 14 and a half. And so he was our little 8-pounder. So we have little Benji left, who's 4 pounds, and he will be 12 in about 3 weeks. And he's 12. It sounds old, but oh my God, this kid, lots of energy and just all over. But yes.
My dog was kidnapped. The coyotes jumped over the fence, grabbed him and ate him. But I talked to an animal communicator on my show, and it was amazing. It was amazing. I didn't tell her a lot of anything. She said that it was a quick kill, that there was someone there to receive him and greet him, and to always remember that dog is God spelled backwards.
Wow. You know what? Thank you. Yes.
It was. So, you know, I don't worry about that. Let's talk about being a step parent for a minute.
Yes.
Because, girl, I done had to step in and step around and tap dance. It is not easy to blend a family.
No, it's not. No, it's okay.
There's going to be some kerfuffle. You know, there's going to be some resentment.
Yes.
There's going to be some deep conversations.
Yes.
There's going to be some division. But once you get all of that and put it in a bowl and stir it up and mix it up and put it in a pan and bake it and it rises to the top, you find that that blending of the family is a gift like no other.
Yes.
You know, and again, I'm a step parent. I was raised by a step parent, but it's it's such a challenge to step in. What suggestions would you give to a new blended family?
Number one, you got to sit down and communicate in a nice, calm manner. No yelling, no screaming. Yes, you're right. It was challenging because I came in with a whole different set of rules, so to speak, right? It's like, okay, this household, it's going to be blah, 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 blah. So when you're accustomed to a household, that's kind of like, oh, yeah, you can do whatever. It's like, oh, okay. So when you say, what's the suggestion? It's just got to really sit and talk and set expectations, right? Just like any relationships, personal, professional, setting expectations and working and see how can we meet that and making sure the expectations will, I mean, ideally, it's like, okay, what can make both sides happy? I mean, certainly we're not going to cater to every wishes and whims of the children, or the parents are like, okay, we're very Nazi, like, right? It's my way or the highway. So compromise, yes, that's a big word. But setting expectations, right? Okay, here we are, this new blended family. Okay, it's going to be different. So how's it going to be? Boom, 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 boom. Just sitting down and just really having this family meeting and just calmly, because I know there have been meetings where it can escalate and we get into this whole.
Oh, sure. You know, you know, and even with the parents, because it's a relationship thing there too. You marry someone that has children.
Yes.
Their children are something that they love, honor, and want to protect because they've been through a traumatic experience of the breakup of a family. And then you introduce this other person. But it's also, I feel, that the communication between the two spouses has to be on one accord.
It is.
And it is a deep conversation, and it's an ongoing conversation because things are ever evolving. Things are changing. And how this person feels that has the child, be it the woman or the man, they're afraid. They're really afraid. Okay, this person that I now love in my is in my space. I want to honor them. I want my children to respect them. However, I've got this other set of circumstances. So it's a very delicate dance.
Yes,
a very delicate dance.
And it's important that I never, and my husband and I, and we continue to have these deep conversations to this day, is never want to put him, I mean, here, me, no human kids of my own, and with his three girls, is to put him in a position where he feels like I have to choose my three girls or my wife. No, who am I to put him in that position, April? That's not right. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Chong, I say this with great respect, but I'm sure you could be pretty tough because you raised four boys. And,
yes,
then here you go, come into a family with three girls.
Yes.
The dynamic. So, you know, really the hat that you had to wear to be a disciplinarian and a role model for your four boys is going to be a little tougher than three girls.
Yes, I am a toughie. You talk to my staff at the office. I am a toughie. But here's what I say, and they hear me say it all the time. If anyone was to describe me, is I'm firm, but fair.
Mm-hmm.
That is me.
That's right.
I'm firm, but fair. Yes.
And my doctor is, she's Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And her staff says, oh my God, Dr. Xu, she does not play.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I told her one time, I said, you know what? I said, your staff is a little, they walk on eggshells with you. She says, I want them to know that I care about them. But what I want them to know is how much I care about my patients.
Right.
I don't have time to mess around. I don't have time to create, you know, this this happy-go-lucky environment. I need you to be serious about the work that you do, because these people's lives are in my hand. So you continue being a toughie. But I know deep down inside you are a big old marshmallow, because look at that smile on your face.
Right. You do know me well. You're absolutely, yes. Yeah. And my girls, my three girls, they'll tell you, I say my girls, but.
Yeah. They are your girls. They are your girls. And, you know, I have a stepson, and there's no step in between us. Once we start putting that step or, you know, my husband or spouse's kids, there's still a separation. We are a family. We are a family.
Oh, yeah. My three girls were here with you right now. They'll tell you that. They're like, yep, she's a tough cookie. She has these expectations of us, but she's got her reasons. But they know. They know. Inside there, there's quite a softy in there.
But, you know, without law and order is chaos.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
There's chaos. So exactly. I commend that.
Yes. In the home life, in the world. Exactly. Yes.
And sometimes when we all make tough decisions, we step back and say, well, you know, could I have done this a different way? There's always a learning for us as well. We don't know everything. Could I have done this a little different? Could I have been a little softer? Could I have listened a little harder? You know, so that's all part of clearing your vision. Again, like you say, in your heart, knowing where you are. You are one amazing woman. I want to ask you two more questions.
Yes, please.
What brings you the greatest joy outside of your children, your fur babies, and your husband? What brings you the greatest joy?
That I can make a difference in a person's life. Mm-hmm. Even with, it doesn't have to be something grand, right? Just a tiny thing, whether by with a simple smile, or that I genuinely, sincerely give them the time of day to listen. Because you see, as an eye doctor, oftentimes I'm not just an eye doctor in the exam room. I mean, I become a therapist and a coach. And all. So what gives me the greatest joy is knowing when I see them, whether the following year or their next visit, said, you know what? Because of my visit with you, because we are past crossed, you gave me courage and hope that I can go back to school after many decades, or I got out of that toxic relationship mode. Mm. Yet to make a difference. And we don't have to be a Mother Teresa. And I talk about that in my book. We think we've got to do this big grand thing.
Right, no, right.
No. Right.
We've got to be the matriarch. We've got to solve all the problems. You know, I get that.
The nurturer in us too, April, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the last thing that I'd like to ask you is, how do you want to be remembered, your legacy?
My legacy. My legacy is that because of her, my life changed. Because of her, because of Dr. Susan Truong, because our paths cross, okay, whether in the office or outside of the office, I want to do more. I want to leave more of a legacy. I want to help others. I want to impact lives. Right? I know that it's not about me. To be selfless versus selfish, right? So that's the legacy, is want to make a difference and to help others. Because you see, it's that cascading effect, right? It's that rippling effect. It's one person at a time to another person to the next.
Well, you have rippled into my heart and created a river of love that's overflowing. Thank you so much, Dr. Truong. I wish you were here to check my eyes. I just had them checked. We'll talk about it offline. I took some of your suggestions again, and I'm going beyond that 2020 vision, because I want to see into a brighter future. I want to see with more clarity. Again, I don't want to just see with my eyes. I want to also see with my heart.
Right in here.
Thank you so much. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you and how to get a copy of that amazing new book.
Okay. This book here, Beyond 2020 Vision, you can get it on Amazon. Okay. Amazon.com. Just Google Dr. Susan Truong. Okay. Or Beyond 2020. Easiest is go on Amazon and Google Dr. Susan Truong. SusanTruong. Okay. And how to contact me, you can contact me at Dr. Susan at Beyond Your 2020vision.com. Again, Dr. Susan at beyondyour2020vision.com. And of course, you can find me on Facebook. You know, people find me on so the whole social media, definitely easier to find me on Facebook. Message me any however I can help, my books. And then once you get the book, there's more, a lot of information on there too, my website, my emails, and all. And don't hesitate. However I can help, however I can guide, however, you know. Folks, me and April, This is why we're here.
This is what we're here to do, is to up level and listen to you and offer you suggestions. And like I said, be good listeners, because we don't know everything. We can tell you from our life experience, and maybe you can, as we say, put us up on game so that we can do a lot better. Thank you so much. Brains, I want you to go in, like, love, follow, subscribe, get a copy of Dr. Chong's book. If you're in the Florida area, go in and get your eyes checked so that you can see clearly. We love you. We thank you. We honor you.
Thank you.
Bye, Brains.